Well, praise God. God is good. If I, and I do, have a title for this, Preparing for the Outpouring. I thought Pastor was going to just finish it for me from the start. But we are preparing for the outpouring. First off, Pastor talked about your prayer language. If you have a prayer language, if you have been enriched and baptized by the Holy Spirit, let's utilize that right now. If you don't, well, we will take care of that in a little bit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go before the Father. Saturo costore che di besta ramando ropo te disti di. Kile la 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 basso doro matar mandia de kirinde de ando sodor de bede disti de carai. Lebeda bondo rogo rekede de alamos sondo roto se di ede de la carra pastara. De la co no remende andondo rebede se de diste ada barroso doroto etichise. Mandara da rabosso do robarbi di me arra te asta da coroso rekitista ramondo rebed barre che de lema roba ta berriste di aroco surrekede di e sur mandanda la 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 bondo racate de diada. Mendo rebed de borrosto rekesede da la 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 bassa turrocoso. Leba la mola mele ala aca de tehere kirinde kede de diosto de re abade yashte de ele burro manda rekiti de andondo roba papa sarracateste re te asta ro dosto rekiti sa dorra mata rabasta rekidi di asu roto lelele kini maroco sorrekidi di atasta rosso. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we come before you and as we come into your presence, Father, I thank you that you are here, and by your Holy Spirit, great and mighty things will be accomplished. We know that you are the omnipotent God. But Father God, I thank you for your word, that you are faithful to your word. You are faithful to perform your word. And you said, Father God, in your word, that if we would gather in your name, that you would be in the midst of us. I thank you that your Spirit is here and we will see and know the manifestations of your glory this morning, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Open our hearts, open our ears, that we may receive and see you in all that is done. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Well, today is going to be different. I'm not going to take a text and expound on so many points and all that this morning. But if you hook up and stay hooked up, I think there's some opportunities for learning and for growth, because the Spirit of God is here. Yeah. And we can always learn from the Spirit of God. That is His job. He is our teacher. I've never done anything like this before, so it's a little bit outside my comfort zone, but I feel like this is what God would have us to do this morning. So here we go. I believe that we're on the brink of a great outpouring, that God is fixing to change some things. Sister Suzanne came up a couple of weeks ago and gave a word that God said that He is restoring and resurrecting this body, all the way from Pastor Jim down to the very least, that everything about this place is being restored. It's going to be resurrected, brought back to life. Not that we lost the life, but with new life, with new life. It's all God and it's all good. And I'll tell you right here up front that the purpose and goal of me standing up here this morning, my purpose and goal, which I believe is the goal of the Spirit, is to get us all prepared to receive this outpouring. You can consider this a time of getting things in order, cleaning house, regrouping, or any other such strategies. But I also want you to know, excuse me, that I am not here to correct you. I am not here to bring condemnation. If there's something in you that needs to change, then God will show you and the Holy Spirit will empower you to do that. God needs us to be in a certain way for the outpouring of His Spirit. Not that He can't pour out until we're in that certain way, But the pouring out is coming, okay? You can't stop that. But whether or not you receive it depends on the position that we are in and the position that you are in. If you're not ready, if you're not prepared, if you're not hooked up, if you're not in your place, like I said, you will not hinder what God is doing, but there may be someone else who will come and be in your place or take your place and will receive with gladness and great joy what God is pouring out. Sister Michelle talked about this morning a lady. She visited here one Sunday and she hadn't come back for assemblies, but she comes on Thursdays because she just wants to tell us how much God loves this church. She says that over and over and over. God loves this church. God loves these people. And that's what she has been sent to tell. That sounds real simple, doesn't it? But if we are not where we are, somebody else will come. Or if we're not where we're supposed to be, somebody else will come. The outpouring is coming. The impression I receive from the Spirit is like when the children of Israel were to get ready for to leave Egypt. How many of you remember that story? It's called the Exodus. They had to put the blood of a spotless lamb on the doorpost and then consume the roasted lamb. But as they ate, they had to eat with their traveling clothes on. Not ready to put on, but they had to eat with their traveling clothes on, with everything packed and ready to go, so that when the time came, there would be no delay. Okay? That's kind of what we're doing. I believe that our hearts have been sprinkled and been covered by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of our Redeemer. We are children of the Most High God. How many of you are saved this morning? Okay, the rest of you will have prayer in a little bit. But we are, through the blood of our Redeemer, children of the Most High God. That's settled. If that's not settled, then yeah, we need to have prayer. But that's settled. So that's not an issue. That's not holding us back. Sin and death has no place in us. And for the past 37 years, Pastor Jim has been teaching and admonishing and training us. And just recently, Brother Brian has explained so excellently what we are to look at, what we're to focus on, how to become what we have become, and how to stay in and what it means to be in Christ. Those were excellent, excellent messages. And if you missed those last three assemblies, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? You missed some very vital information and instructions to being ready. Fortunately, because of God's grace, we have it recorded on DVD, as well as archived on our website. You can go back and pick it up. I encourage you to go back and pick it up. Praise God for grace and video recording. In the Old Testament, if they missed it, they died. You know, it wasn't good. But now, if you miss it, you can go back and pick it up, watch it on the video, and get caught up. However, if you missed it the first time, but you still don't go back and pick it up, you missed it again. And you won't be ready. God is about to explode this place, and if you're not here and ready, I will just say there are some things that video recordings don't capture. Okay? There are some. That depends on God. I know that songs can be anointed. If songs can be anointed that every time you hear them, they minister to you, a video can be anointed that every time you watch it, it can minister to you. But there's still some things that videos don't capture, and that is what we're going to focus on a lot this morning. I'm moving on, but let me say the Holy Spirit does not condemn, so don't receive condemnation, but he does convict. So showing a better way for you to go. So choose wisely. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't need to tell anybody this, but the body of Christ, this church in particular, but the body of Christ everywhere, has been under a great attack. How many of you have noticed that? Yeah, okay. And I'm talking about the church everywhere. In fact, all believers everywhere have been targeted, and it seems like the onslaught just keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. But you know what? We're going to keep standing. We're going to keep winning. We are not quitting. Every aspect and arena of our lives seems to be challenged. It's like, would you go away and leave me alone? It's like it's always there, and sometimes it gets a little frustrating, but we have to keep our focus. This is why what Brian talked about, we don't what we look at and what we see. You got to know the difference, and you got to actively pursue and take part of that. And it's being challenged from finances to health to employment to strife and confusion, unrest, and just plain old yuck. Just plain old yuck. I would use another word, but yuck will do for right now. But I tell you, God has a plan, and He is setting His kingdom in order. Not through the attacks. That's not God. The attacks are not God. He does not use attacks. He does not use disaster or anything bad, wrong, calamity. He does not use that. His plans for us are for good. Okay? But there is an enemy. The attacks are from the enemy, who wants to destroy you and me and keep our light from shining. If he can get us distracted from that, then he seems to be happy and content to keep doing that. But God has already given us everything that we need to deal with the attacks, so God is not concerned about the attacks, okay? If you keep crying out to God, oh, God, take this away from me, take this away from me, he's not concerned about that because he's already provided what you need. Paul cried out to God, take these things away from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. We got grace. So God, while he's concerned about you, he's not concerned about the attacks. He says there's enough grace to deal with that. And he has already provided what we need to deal with that, to deal with those attacks. That way we can get on with receiving everything he is doing, and we can get on with turning this thing around. Amen? There is the outpouring. There is the receiving of the outpouring. Consider this getting prepared to receive the outpouring. Okay? We got a three-step process here. We're preparing, we'll receive, and participate in the outpouring that God is bringing. I don't know what the outpouring will look like. I know that earlier this year, Pastor Jim, Brian mentioned this in Sunday class. If you missed Sunday class, there you go again. It was good. Brother Ken, did I say Brian? Well, they're brothers. But Brother Ken, his class is always good. It's always good. But Pastor said at the first of this year, that around the middle of this year, that we would begin seeing signs and wonders and miracles. I don't know what those will be, but I know they're coming, and I know they are upon us now. I just feel I can't get it out of my spirit. I feel like that any day, it is here. And I'm not just talking about the RV or the GCR or whatever. I know that is coming as well, and I celebrate and rejoice in that. But there's so much more that God has that he wants to pour out. And we need to be prepared. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to utilize what Pastor Jim has taught us over all these years and what Brother Brian taught us in the last three assemblies. We're going to put all that together, and we're going to deal with all the junk that is being thrown at us, and we're going to put it in its place. We're going to exalt the Word of God in these areas of our lives, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to bind us together in unity and peace. Okay, these are all areas that we need to get ready. So don't get all comfortable and settle down in your seat expecting a scripture, 3 points, and a poem, because that ain't going to happen. You may have to get up and down a couple of times, because this is Participation Sunday at House of the Lord. Okay, first area that we're going to deal with, and the attacks that have been coming, and that, well, is health. We're going to start with health. I've never seen a time where there are more church members in the hospital than there are in the assemblies. Okay, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I guess being in the office, we know of everybody that is going through it. Okay, we hear about it. And some of the people that are in the assemblies probably should be in the hospital too. But I don't know about you, but I've had enough of it. I don't want no more of this. If we have been given the tools to deal with it, I think it's time to deal with it. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Right now, we're going to deal with it. We've been distracted and held back with it long enough. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. The Amplified says, by his wounds you have been healed. Just as the price of sin has been paid and we are now alive to righteousness, the same action has paid the price of sickness and disease, and we are healed. Sin was paid for, and righteousness was available while we were still sinners. Okay? So how did we get to be the righteousness of God and have sin taken away? We received it by faith and the Redeemer as Lord. In the same way, health and wholeness is paid for. And healing is available all the while that we were sick. Okay? It's there. Just like salvation was available while we were sinners, healing is available. It's paid for right now. How do we get from sick to healed? Same way. We receive it by faith in our Redeemer and Lord, or as Lord. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit which dwells in you. Okay? If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God already in you. Because He said, if you would invite Him in, if you would receive Him, that He would come into you. Now, it may not be the fullness, but there's enough. Okay? There's enough. The Spirit of God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead, and He lives in you already. So, the promise says the Holy Spirit will give life to your mortal body here and now through resurrection power. The Holy Spirit is the faucet that the blessings of God comes through, and that Spirit, that faucet, is in you. Let's turn it on. Let's open it up and receive it. If you are experiencing the attacks of sickness and disease and the lies against the Word and Spirit of God seem to be hitting on you every day or in ways that you've never thought of before, I want you to stand up right now. I don't want you to come down front. I just want you to stand up. If you have been attacked by the Holy Spirit or by the sickness and of any kind of disease or pain or discomfort, we're going to take care of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, I thank You for Your Word that says that the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us quickens our bodies. I thank You, Father God, that Your Spirit that is alive in us now with resurrection power, we come against the sickness and disease. We come against pain. We come against any infirmity. We call it cursed. It is done. It is paid for. And we receive the healing of the Most High God. We receive the healing of the stripes that Jesus took on His back. We receive the beating and the wounds that were made for our healing, for our redemption. And I thank You, Father God. And now as we stand here this morning, Father God, in your presence, by your Spirit, Father God, I thank you that you have instructed us, and now we are obedient to your Holy Spirit. I decree and declare that everyone standing and everyone in this building is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Holy Spirit, manifest the power of God, manifest the glory of God in everybody. Everyone that's standing, I thank you, Father God, that you are faithful to your word, that you will do what you have said, and now is the time for the manifestations of healing to go for every individual in this body. I thank you, Father God, that no more. Father God, I know the attacks are going to come, but they will not prosper against us any longer. They will not affect our lives. They will not come against us to distract us anymore. We put it down. We lay it aside. We run the race without pain, without the distress, and without the disease. I thank you, Father God, that you are faithful to your word and you do what you said. You do what you said. Holy Spirit, release the resurrection life on those individuals who are standing in your presence this morning. We thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Thank you, you are faithful to your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It is done. From now on, we will not be sick. We will not be distressed. We will not allow the distress and the pain and the discomfort of sin and sickness to affect our bodies. We say no. No more. No more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. The next area is finances. I know that many individuals and families are struggling financially. I also know that some who think they are struggling are doing so because of their choices. Not that they choose to struggle, but the choices that they make put them in a struggling position. But there are some whose finances have literally come under attack by things outside of their control. Whatever the case may be, we have a promise. So it doesn't matter if you're just messing up or if the enemy is actually attacking you. It doesn't matter. We have a promise, several promises, in fact, that tell us that we don't have to live this way. If you've been making some bad decisions that's causing some trouble, James 1:5 says that if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Receive the wisdom that God gives and start making wise decisions with your finances. Okay? If you need help with that, God will help you. There is grace to cover the screw-ups in the past, but God will help you with your decisions. Hallelujah. Now, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it is sin. But there is grace for when you're ready to change. Amen? For the attacks and lies of the enemy, we have 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. The Amplified says, and I have this on my wall, I say it every day, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now that's a mouthful. Basically what it says is God's favor does not leave you. We've already heard that this morning. God's favor does not leave, but he brings earthly blessings. It says, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, okay? So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support. Amen. Also, Philippians 4:19, and we know this one. Do we? Do we know it? Okay. My God will supply all your need according to the riches or his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In any event, again, I've had enough of lack. I have this stuff over here should already be in use. It's paid for. We're calling it paid for. It's done. We've got another thing checked off on there, but that needs to come in. That needs to be in the kingdom. That needs to be operating. Okay? I've had enough of lack and need, and it's time for the promise. The promise of God. If you are struggling in your finances for whatever reason, stand and let's take care of it now. Amen. Amen. Father God, again, we come before you and we thank you that you are faithful to your promise. You said that you would supply all of our need according to the riches of your glory. You said that above and beyond that you would bless your people, that you would cause the favor to shine on us and every earthly blessing. And I thank you this morning, Father God, that by your Spirit, your word is accomplished. Your word, we return your word to you and we know that it is accomplished what you have set it to. I thank you, Father God, that now in every situation, in every circumstance, the attacks of the finances are fruitless, that they fall to the ground, that there is no weapon that forms against us that prospers. But we cast it down, we curse it, we say that our finances are secure, that our finances are firm, that they are growing, they are in line with your word, they are in line with what you have promised, Father God. Spirit of God that does the will of the Father, now I release the power, your power, to fulfill the word of God, to cause it to come to pass, just like on the day of creation. God said it, you performed it. I thank you that you have been hovering over this place, that you've been brooding over this place. Now we speak that finances are healed, that restoration is brought forth, and that abundance is loosed in this house on these people right now, Father. I thank you for it. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. No more lack, no more distress, no more want, but we have more than enough according to your word. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Are you receiving this? Hallelujah. The next area I want to address is unrest, anxiousness, worry, fear, all that kind of carrying on. There's so many sources of all these things that bombard us every day. Somebody asked me something about, did I hear something about the news today? I said, I don't watch the news. I can't watch the news. 10 minutes of the news on any given day is enough to strike fear, dread, and hopelessness in anyone. Tell you what, it's just crazy. But maybe because of health issues, financial issues, which we've already taken care of, election issues, government issues, terrorist issues, or it can even be a falsely perceived issue. Something that you just think there's a problem with when there's not really. That can affect you, that can make you anxious, give you unrest, make you worry, make you fearful. The enemy has plenty, and I mean plenty, of canvases to paint his lies and truth, or his lies against the truth of God's word, in order to get you to take your eyes off of him and to look at the problem. And when we do that, we're sunk. We can't do that. Brian taught us, we don't look at the things. That doesn't mean that they're not there to see, but we don't focus on them. We don't look at the things which we can see. But the way you combat the fear and anxiety and unrest is to keep your mind stayed on God. That's what Brian said. We focus on Jesus. It doesn't matter what the problem is. We focus. We keep our focus on God, because then what happens? There's a promise. He says he will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what we've talked about. We can see all the things going on in the world, but we don't look at those things. We look at our Redeemer and what he has done for us, knowing that his ways, his plans, his purposes for us are for peace and hope and well-being. Again, he does not use, God does not plan for our disaster. God does not plan for our demise or trouble. He does not plan for that. He plans for our peace, for our well-being, for success. Amen? Now, I'm going to pray and we're going to break the lies of worry and fear and anxiousness, but you have to enforce, maintain, and guard your thoughts and your heart. Okay? It's up to you. It's up to you to maintain this. If you let those thoughts and ideas back in, you'll be right back where you are. The enemy will continue the attack until he sees that his efforts aren't working on you anymore. Okay? If he knows that you're going to take your eyes off God, he'll keep messing with you. But when you take a stand and you say, no more, this is my mind, this is my heart, it is focused on God. From this point on, we're preparing to receive the outpouring of God. The enemy will continue until they aren't working. If you need to, hook up with someone else in the body. That's what the body is for. It's someone that can give you encouragement and help you. The body is for helping one another through encouragement and fellowship. Not to commiserate or feel sorry for each other. Don't get into that. But uplifting and talking about the good things of God and His plans for us. If you are one that is troubled by fear, anxiousness, worry, dread, or the like, stand up, let's pray. There may not be very many. There may not be any at all this morning because we have been taught. But we're going to pray. We're going to come against the anxiety, fear, worry, anything that keeps us stirred up and keeps us from receiving what God has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you again for your word, that you are faithful to your word. You are faithful that promise. And I thank you, Lord God, that your peace comes and your peace saturates our beings, saturates our beings. Father God, I thank you for strength, for wisdom, to keep our eyes focused on you. I thank you, Father God, that by your spirit that is the comforter, that brings peace, that brings joy, that brings life to us, now infuses our bodies, infuses our spirits and our minds, that cleanses the thoughts that would bring fear or doubt or worry or anxiety. I release the peace of God, the peace that passes understanding, the peace and the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I release it into my family this day, Father God. I thank you that by the Spirit of the living God, you are free from anxiety. You are free from turmoil in your mind and in your spirit, in your heart. I say you are free. And you are free to receive the things of God. You are free to walk in the peace and the joy that God has laid out before us and that He gave His Son so that we might be free. That we might be free in our minds, that we might be free in our hearts. I thank you, Father God, that your Spirit does the work now by the power of your Spirit and by the Word of God. I thank you that it is done. I release it as an authority in the body of Christ. I release it to the people. I release it now. Thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit is performing that operation of taking anxiety, taking fear, taking worry and doubt out of our hearts and replacing with joy and peace as we keep our minds focused on you, looking to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. We lay aside all those things that would come against that peace, everything that would come against joy, everything that would come against our rest. I curse it and cast it down and say that it no longer will affect our lives, but we live and exist in joy and peace because that is the kingdom of God established in our hearts, righteousness, joy, and peace. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So be it. So be it. Hallelujah. Okay, now we're going to deal with another situation. with strife, confusion, contention, jealousy. All these things, along with every evil work, is a product of selfishness. I've heard Pastor Jim talk and teach us that all sin is born or rooted in selfishness. It's because we want to have our way instead of God's way. Or wanting our way over the way of another. James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." The King James Version says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Jealousy and envying are results of judgment and false perception that someone else has something that they don't deserve, because you are just as good as, if not better than them, and you don't have what they do. That's what jealousy is. I don't know why they get one of those. I'm as good as they are. How come I don't have one of those? That's jealousy. That's envying. And that brings every evil work. That brings strife is caused by selfishness or selfish ambition. Those are hard words to say. Not willing to relinquish your position, possession, or rights for the sake of another. The Word says that when these are present, every evil work is present. Murder, lying, stealing, cheating, degradation, backbiting, rebellion, hatred, Democrats, all come from selfishness. Did I say that? All comes from selfishness, and what's in it for me? This is the opposite of love. 1 Corinthians 13, here's our promise. 13:4-7 says, "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is of God. Selfishness is of Satan." There you have it. You might ask, Brother Richard, do we have elements of strife and jealousy and contention here at House of the Lord? Oh, yeah. There's opportunities for that. Yeah, but pretty much you get more than one person together, you're going to have some differences anyway. And we got some of that here. Differences are normal and good for creativity. Okay? Our differences are not a bad thing. But when the differences aren't washed and bathed in love, sometimes things can get misunderstood and heated and can cause distraction to those involved and even those around who witness. So we're going to cover the members and congregation of this morning with love. I am not going to ask anybody to stand on this one. For two reasons. First and foremost, God told me to not to. Okay? Because I was, typing all this up, right? And it just came like, no. No, we're not going to do that. Secondly, the reason we're not going to have anybody stand is it ain't none of your business what anybody else is going through, okay? Or maybe dealing with, or strife, or contention, or jealousy. And this type of stuff is like it's a two-way street. It can go either as giving or receiving. And somebody may just be going through something from somebody else that you don't even know. And it's affecting their life. But it still needs to be broken. So we're going to deal with it. Either way, it's none of our business. Besides, some of you would be following them out to the parking lot. Asking them, "Who you got a problem with? I bet I know who it is. Is it so-and-so?" So we're just going to cover everyone with the love of God. We're going to release the love of God and allow His peace and rest and love to be manifested in us. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Father God, that every life is precious to You. Every heart is precious to You, Father God. And I thank You that You have made a way that we can live free from envy and strife, that we can be free from hurt feelings, from jealousy and envying, and every evil work that comes out of that, Father God. I thank You that Your love covers and protects and delivers us, because it's Your love that provided all that we need for the whole world to be at peace and at rest with You, for the whole cosmos to be redeemed back in line and in order with You. I thank You for Your love this morning, Father God. I thank You that the love of God flows freely in our hearts. And Father God, I thank You that the pain and the discomfort of strife and contentions are washed away. They are washed away. The distraction that would come from strife and contention is washed away by the blood of the Lamb and by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. I thank You, Father God, that You are faithful to Your promise. You are faithful to Your word, that we can be partakers of Your divine nature, be partakers of Your love, Father God, by Your promises. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You now act on the word of God as it's released this morning, that the love of God is manifested. The manifestations of Your love and of Your peace fills our hearts, fills our lives, and no longer strife, no longer contentions, no longer envying, no longer jealousy. We call it finished. It is done. No more. We will receive no more. It falls fruitless in our presence, in our lives. We are free. We are free from strife. We are free from jealousy. We are free from the effects of misunderstanding and every evil work that is accomplished or would try to be accomplished in that scenario. I thank You, Father God. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I got one more area that we're going to cover, and I touched on it just a little bit earlier at the beginning, but I want to talk about being in your place. Now, again, I'm not correcting you if you have missed something. This is not a come against you and shame on you and beat you up because you hadn't been to church. But I'm talking, there is a point to this, and I want to get to it. When I say that being in your place, I'm not just talking about the fourth chair on the seventh row back on the right side, okay? If that's where you like to sit, we have church here Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I would like to see you sitting in that seat every time, okay? I expect to see you there. But the place I really want to talk about is not as much a physical location as it is a you location, okay? Well, what does that mean? Have you ever heard someone say, well, I won't make it to church tonight, but I'll be there in spirit? I would say to that, no, you won't. You don't have that capability, okay? The Holy Spirit may be able to provide you with an out-of-body experience. He has done it before. I'm sure for some people that's, you know, it's not, to me, that's a supernatural occurrence that we don't necessarily have control over. But you can't make that happen. Even if you could, don't send your spirit in here without your body. That's going to freak some people out. Okay? If your spirit is going to be here, your body is going to have to bring it. Because most of what we know right now and what we understand is you can't separate your spirit from your body. That's otherwise known as death. And we don't want you dying. So it's going to take your body to bring your spirit and your soul in here. But basically what's going to happen is you're going to get your spirit caught up in, or subject your spirit to watching NCIS or Bones or something like that on TV, thinking that your spirit is at church. No, it ain't gonna happen. Okay, I'm just telling you the truth. Your spirit won't be singing with the praise team while you're watching TV. Your spirit won't be encouraging someone. Your spirit won't be putting an arm around someone or giving them a hug of fellowship. So being in your place is not just a physical location or a spiritual location or even a mental location. You know, you can think about, you know, they call it daydreaming, where your mind goes off and it seems to leave your body, but it really doesn't. It's just mentally you're not focused. Being somewhere mentally without your body and spirit is kind of weird too. Don't do that. Okay? The place I'm referring to is your spirit, soul, and body, you being hooked up, connected, interacting, being a part of the body that God has placed you in and that you joined. Okay? You signed the application. You read and agreed to the statement of faith. You got the piece of paper. Pastor Jim signed it. It's got the little church seal stamped on it. By all the steps and instructions that you followed, you are a member of this church, and we are glad to have you. Praise God. You have the privilege of sitting on the fourth chair in the seventh row on the back of the right side. But are you a part of the body? I know you're a member, but are you a part of the body? Remember the illustration about the new bicycle. And I think we've talked about this a long time ago. But you buy a new bicycle. You pick it up from the bicycle store, and it's all in a big box. And what's written on the box? Assembly required. Now, all the pieces and parts are gathered together. Okay? They're all in one place. They are there all at the same time, okay? It's a brand new box, brand new bike. But they are not assembled. Every part has to be matched with the corresponding part so that the bicycle will result. Certain parts go with other certain parts, okay? If you try to put the handlebars where the pedals go, you're going to have a problem. If you try to put the seat where the front wheel goes, another problem ensues, okay? But every part has to be in its proper place, connected and tightened down so that it won't fall apart the first time somebody tries to ride it. Okay? Your place I'm talking about is a place of encouragement, of fellowship, lifting up, helping, laughing together, listening. Let me start this over. Go a little slower. Your place that I'm talking about is a place of encouragement, a place of fellowship, a place of lifting up, of helping, of being lifted up, of being helped, a place of laughing together, listening, caring, loving, a gentle touch, or a brotherly bear hug, sharing a scripture or thought, remembering a song, or sharing an experience, offering a prayer or flipping someone a 20, going out to eat together or inviting someone into your home. That's the place that I'm talking about. All those things, that's what binds us together. That's what the body is. Everybody knows Hebrews 10:25. How many of you can quote Hebrews 10:25? I know, I thought so. But what about verse 24? Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Us is all of us, okay? Stimulating one another, not Pastor Jim or the ministers trying to stimulate the congregation. It's the whole body loving on the whole body, okay? The King James Version uses the word provoke instead of stimulate, which to me it's a little harder word than stimulate. When I think of provoke, I think of pushing someone until they do something. Okay? You know, like if you keep that up, I'm going to bust your head. Now that's provoke. That's provocation. I think of a couple of people when I think of that, but I'm not going to call any names. But in this case, he says to provoke one another or to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Maybe we should be like, if you keep that up, you're going to make me love you and do something nice for you. Okay? We've always told our kids, we had one of our rules of our household is, thou shalt not provoke thy sibling to make a noise. Which basically is screaming or crying. Now, this was when they were little, but it still applies. Thank you. But you know how siblings do. They will pick and they'll punch and they provoke. They just irritate just to try to get a rise out of you for no other reason than just to see how you're going to act or react. Well, that's what we're not poking and punching, but we... The verse says, let us consider how to stimulate. Are you considering, how can I love this person? How can I stimulate this person to bring them into my circle, if you will, or bring them into love, bring them into good deeds? Are you considering that? You know, this is the Word of God, and I think it's probably something that we should be doing. It's the Word, okay? The next verse says, and this is what the one that everybody knows, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There we are assembling, joining together with one another. Okay? Don't leave the chain in the box. The bicycle won't be as efficient as it would be without the chain. Okay? Have you ever tried to pedal a bike that did not have a chain? It's not efficient. You expend a lot of energy and you go nowhere unless you're rolling downhill or something. So the chain is a vital part, but it's just a little piece of chain. It's just a chain. We've got to have the chain. Don't leave the seat off. That won't work at all. Don't even want to get on that bike. Okay? No part is expendable. Okay? We need you all. Just, but not just as a box of parts. Okay? Assemble together. Encourage one another. Working with one another. Serving with one another. Laughing and enjoying one another. Now, we've studied the personality thing, and we know that some personalities don't jive well with other personalities, and that's okay. Again, different is okay. That's fine. That creates creativity. The handlebars don't connect to the back wheel sprocket, okay? I don't care how you try to put them together, the handlebars don't connect to the back wheel. But they both connect to the frame, and both are vitally important to the vision and mission of the bicycle. Okay? The back wheel can encourage the handlebars and says, stay strong and straight and guide us to good roads. Miss that pothole, if you would. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, there can be fellowship, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a joint. It doesn't have to be a working, you know, just because some things aren't meant to be, okay? But the handlebars can encourage and praise the back wheel for the good traction over that little slick spot in the road back there, or being able to change gears so smoothly. They're several feet apart, but they interact together to make the bicycle move. So it's okay if everybody doesn't connect with every single person, okay? As long as we're all part of the whole, we can incite or provoke or stimulate one another to love and good works good deeds, and then we will see and realize our vision and mission. Okay? When we're all together. This is your place. A part of the whole. Offering encouragement, offering support. This is where we all need to be so that we are ready to receive the outpouring of God by His Spirit. That's what this whole morning has been about, is preparing, getting all this distraction stuff out of the way, allowing the Spirit of God to come in and fulfill the Word of God, make it active in our lives, and now we enforce the truth and the freedom of the promises that God has made to us. Now we are ready to receive the Spirit of God and the outpouring that He has. On this last one, or on the last one, I didn't have anybody stand. Because, for the reasons that I explained. But on this one, I want everybody to stand. And we're done. So you're going to stand up anyway because you can't walk out the door from your seat. So we're going to stand together in unity as one, in solidarity, in love and fellowship, and in God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for this people that is gathered here this morning. I thank You for their commitment to You and to this body. Father, I just loose Your Holy Spirit now to flow through each one from heart to heart, from life to life, Father God, to connect us, to join us in unity as one heart, as one spirit, as one mind, in one accord with You. Father God, I thank You that the first time You poured Your Spirit out, that the people were gathered together in one heart and one mind. They were in one accord. So Father God, for the outpouring that You are about to pour out on this place and in this nation, Father God, I thank You, and I pray that You unite us, that You help us, You provoke us to stimulate one another, Father God, to love, to good works, that we are one together, that we come to one mind and one accord in unity as one body, fellowshipping and working for one purpose and one vision. I thank You, Father, that by Your Spirit that connects us all together, because it is one Spirit, one body. You said it over and over and over and over in Your Word that we are one body from one Lord with one Spirit. And I thank You, Father, that You reveal to us those connections, reveal to us and open to us those that we should be connected to and that we should be a part of in our everyday life, Father God, from every day of the week that we interact with some part of this body, of our body, that we maintain our connection, Father God, that we don't get separated, that we don't get distracted, that we don't get put out, but Father God, that we are, or that we don't get left in the box, but that we all come together, assembling ourselves, even over the phone sometimes, Father God, that we are in our place as a body, as a member of the body of Christ in this house of the Lord Fellowship Church. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are binding us together with love and with cords that cannot be broken. You are binding our hearts together with love and with unity. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You. Now, Father God, I call these people blessed. I call them one before You, Father. I thank You that Your grace and mercy and peace are shining down on them, that You bless us and that You watch, guard, and keep us, Father God, in every situation. I thank You for Your Word, Father, that You said that no weapon formed against us would prosper. So I cover this people this morning, Father God, with Your Word and with the promise of the Holy Spirit that no weapon formed against this people prospers. But every tongue that would try to cause dissension, every tongue that would try to cause or distraction, we curse it and cast it down. We say it is null and void of effect, and we say that every word of judgment or even every word of condemnation or even opinion falls fruitless, Father God. We are what You say we are. We are who You say we are, and we will not accept any other. I thank you, Father God, that it is our heritage as children of the Most High God to walk in peace, to be taught of you and live in peace. I thank you for that, Father God. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for these people. Let your glory and your grace follow us and go with us in every area, in every arena of our life. From this point forward, we receive, we are open to receive as we align ourselves with you, Father God, to receive the outpouring of your Spirit. Whatever you have in store for us, whatever way you want to take us, Father God, we are ready, we are able, we are willing, and we are rejoicing in the pouring out of your Spirit. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen.